Thank you for listening to the Spectator podcast. We've got a new offer. You can get a free Brexit butterfly mug, as well as 12 issues of The Spectator for just £12, if you subscribe at spectator.co.uk/mug.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Dennis Staunton from the Irish Times, the London editor. However, today he is joining us from Cork following the Irish election. But results still coming in, a few things have become clear. Leo Varadkar fought an election hoping it'd be won on Brexit and the economy, but it wasn't to be. As counting gets into its final stages, it's clear that this has been a historic result for Sinn Féin. All first preferences have been counted. The Republican Party has taken 24.5% of the vote, whereas Fine Gael had taken 22% and Fine Gael are on 21%. The issues that appear to be driving this are more the cost of housing than what's happening on the Irish border, but I will discuss that with my guests shortly. The result has been described as something of a revolution in the ballot box by the Sinn Féin's leader, Mary Lou McDonald. So Dennis, for listeners who haven't been following this as closely as you, which is probably most people listening to this podcast, can you just explain to us what these results mean for those who are just tuning in now?
What they mean, first of all, is that Leo Varadkar is almost certainly going to be out of power. He continues as Taoiseach and his government continues until a new government is formed. And then there's going to have to be some kind of coalition or some other sort of arrangement that will allow a government to be formed. What you need is 80 seats. There are 160 seats in the door of the parliament. And given that what looks like it's likely to happen is that Fianna Fáil, although it got fewer votes, is likely to get more seats, so it's likely to come back with about maybe 42 seats, and Sinn Féin and Fine Gael both around 37 seats. And so even a combination of any of those two of the three parties doesn't actually get you a majority. So there's going to be a period of each of the parties, or at least Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil, trying to put together a majority in one way or another. They'll end up talking to one another, and it'll take weeks before we actually get a government.
James, is this a shock result? Sinn Féin have done remarkably well here, if you think how they've fared in previous elections.
Yes, and I think if you consider how badly they did in the elections last year, it is a particular shock result. As with the British election, the polls got it right, but I think there was a sense that Sinn Féin would underperform their opinion poll rating. I certainly think the sense in British government circles this week, on Saturday when voting was taking place, was that the most likely result was some kind of Fianna Fáil-led government, which might well still be the result, but I don't think anyone saw how well Sinn Féin was going to do. And I think this actually raises an interesting systemic question, which is, the Irish electoral system, for the reasons that Dennis was saying, it's about encouraging the big parties to kind of compromise with each other. And what has essentially happened is the voters have reacted to the Fine Gael-Fianna Fáil confidence and supply agreement by essentially rejecting both parties and going for the party that has been out of government in Sinn Féin. And I mean, that raises a very interesting question, which is Sinn Féin must be quite tempted to sit on the sidelines again. Because if they did that, and you can say that lightning doesn't strike twice, but if they basically forced the two main parties to govern together again, or the two traditional parties to govern together again, you can see how they could set themselves up as the sole opposition party next time round, a trick which worked so effectively for them this time.
Dennis, before we get to what this means in terms of next steps, in terms of what type of government could be formed, and we expect this to be a very lengthy process in trying to work out a governing role here, let's talk about what factors have driven this result. Now, when Leo Varadkar called this election, he was a leader who had taken a tough line in the Brexit talks, and there was a sense that the fact that they had come to this agreement with the UK might play well with voters. What's really driven the result today?
Well, when Mary Lou McDonald, the leader of Sinn Féin, finishes celebrating her victory, she ought to sit down and write a letter to Boris Johnson, thanking him for all of the help that he has given her. Because by getting Brexit done, Boris Johnson removed Brexit as an issue in Irish politics. It had in Ireland, rather like in Britain, just dominated everything and also actually almost suppressed discussion of any other issue for the last 2 or 3 years. And once it was lifted, then Sinn Féin was able to fight this election on the issues of health, housing, public services, and generally the feeling that although the Irish economy is doing really well, you know, in terms of all the indicators like GDP and unemployment and all the rest, that actually the quality of people's lives has not improved. And in they've got similar problems to many cities in Britain in that younger people, the rent is so high they can't afford to save to buy a house, housing is unaffordable. And what people went for is a very radical set of proposals from Sinn Féin, which is a massive house building programme, big investment in public services, and also not just not increasing taxes, but actually abolishing a number of taxes that affect a lot of people, abolishing property tax, and yet at the same time maintaining Ireland's very low corporate tax rate of 12.5%. Now, these promises don't necessarily add up. But the fact is that, as James said, the public decided to punish Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael equally because they regarded them, even though they were in a confidence and supply arrangement, they regarded them as being equally responsible for the failure to deal with these big problems. And so they went for the radical option in Sinn Féin.
James, do you think this offers a lesson to the UK government? I mean, we've just had a very Brexit-heavy election because it would lead to, in theory, getting Brexit done. But one of the issues, if you look at the younger demographic, and some stats suggest that Sinn Féin led amongst every age group below 65, yeah. Clearly property and housing is a big vote-driving issue.
Yeah, I think for parties of the centre-right, the maintenance of the property-owning democracy is essential to their political survival. Because if you think of the events in people's lives that probably shifts them towards the right in terms of economics, it is probably having children and owning a home. And therefore, the fewer homeowners you have, you know, the smaller the kind of solid vote for the centre-right parties are. I think the results in Ireland are also creates an interesting question about the nature of political systems. Because the British system, essentially, the two main parties have survived because we have this winner-takes-all system. So you never end up with, or very rare examples in history, of Labour and the Tories governing together. So generally one tends to benefit and the other then, and the cycle goes that way. While a system, not just in Ireland, but in many countries in the EU, is about trying to kind of encourage the main parties together. And I think what this result shows is one of the unintended consequences of that can be that it actually pushes people out to the more extreme option because they wish to reject the parties in government. And if that happens to be both of the main parties, that then pushes them out towards Sinn Féin. I don't get the sense, and Dennis will correct me when I get it wrong, I don't get the sense that in this campaign Sinn Féin have been spurred on by the issues that someone here would traditionally think encouraged Sinn Féin, that this was not a massive spike in support for Irish unity or anything like that. I mean, I think it was about, as Dennis was saying, it was about, you know, health, housing, homelessness, all of those issues where there is a sense that the government was being complacent or not doing enough.
And Dennis, just on that, to some in the UK, it seems quite unthinkable that Sinn Féin would do so well if you look back to the history of the Republican movement. Is the fact that there is now a new leader in Mary Lou McDonald rather than Gerry Adams something that has meant that it has increased, I suppose, into a wider appeal and managed to let go of some of its history?
Yeah, and when Mary Lou McDonald took over from Gerry Adams a couple of years ago, she was expected to have this kind of success, but then she didn't. So for the first couple of years, they've done rather badly in elections, both north and south of the border. And suddenly they seem to have made this breakthrough. And so in a way, the result that we got over the weekend was the one that Sinn Féin had hoped for. And not only is there Mary Lou McDonald leading, and she was very much front and centre of the campaign, but they've got a number of other spokesmen and spokeswomen who are fresh faces, who have no connection whatsoever to Northern Ireland or the Troubles. And also, just as time goes on, younger people, and that's really anybody under 40 or even 45, they tend to regard the Troubles in Northern Ireland as an historical event, and if they think of Gerry Adams, they think of his role in the peace process rather than his role in the events that preceded the peace process. And so they've been, the Irish public in the South at least, seems to be kind of forgiving of Sinn Féin. And I think one of the reasons for that is that Sinn Féin is in government in Northern Ireland. The parties in the South, like the parties in London, have encouraged the DUP to go into government with Sinn Féin. And Sinn Féin managed to get into government in Northern Ireland because they had persuaded enough people, including the authorities, authorities that they had left violence behind them. And although there's some residue of their history of association with the IRA, it's probably really just that. And I think that probably the more exposed they are to power, so for example, if they were to get into government, then I think the more quickly all of that residue will fall away.
And while voters en masse seem to have managed to move past the Troubles and Sinn Féin's relations to that, Dennis, I wondered, what does it mean for power sharing? Because it seems as though at least one of the parties is still taking the line that they do not want to form any arrangement with Sinn Féin.
Yes, so what you had during the election campaign was both of the traditionally big parties, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, they both said that they would not under any circumstances go into any arrangement with Sinn Féin after the election. What's happened since is that Fine Gael, Leo Varadkar, said, absolutely not, we made this promise, our voters wouldn't thank us for going in with them, and we'd prefer to be in opposition than to go in with Sinn Féin. Fianna Fáil's leader, Micheál Martin, has sounded much more nuanced and said that, that as a party they had to listen to what the people had said, the people clearly want change, and it's really now not so much a question of principle, but it's a matter of policies. Now, obviously, you can do quite a lot in terms of finding some agreement on policies. And already this morning, Mary Lou McDonald has made it clear that if she does get into coalition negotiations, that Sinn Féin's demand for a border poll on Irish unity would not be a red line in terms of going into these negotiations. And that's probably just as well, because it's not up to the government in Dublin to authorise a border poll. That's done by the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland if he thinks that there's possibly a majority for Irish unity. But still, Sinn Féin does have this push for Irish unity, which will probably unnerve unionists in Northern Ireland. But I do think that those issues probably won't necessarily be an impediment to them forming some alliance with another party. What will be, I think, though, is what you'll see is something of a dance over the next few weeks. So probably the first thing will be that Sinn Féin will try to see what they can do in terms of cobbling together a government with some smaller left-wing parties. That's probably likely to fail. And it's only then, in a few weeks' time, that you'll get into the serious negotiations, which would probably be between Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin. And although Fianna Fáil would have more seats than Sinn Féin, I think Sinn Féin would be able to argue that because they won the popular vote, or at least they won more of the popular vote than Fianna Fáil, that it ought to be a partnership of equals. And so you could, for example, see a rotating prime ministership between Micheál Martin and Mary Lou McDonald. So all kinds of ideas that were unthinkable on Friday are now starting to become very real points of discussion here.
And James, just on the UK side, clearly we don't yet know what the new Irish government is going to look like. But do you get a sense of what formulation of the several that Dennis has just raised would most worry the government, particularly if you think, I suppose, to bring up Brexit, the second stage of the negotiations, so the trade talks?
So I think the government's main worry is not about the second stage of the trade talks. It's about the operation of this joint committee that is meant to manage the Northern Ireland Protocol. The UK government's hope is that basically between them and that basically both they and the Irish government will be prepared to extend a certain amount of political capital with the European Union to make everything function as smoothly as possible. And that, the idea is that, that while this might not be able to achieve a kind of Boris Johnson aim of no checks whatever, you could really minimise things. And I mean, there was a sense, interestingly, that Micheál Martin was the most prepared to do that, was the most prepared to be helpful on that front. But I think any government, I think there'll be a worry about what Sinn Féin in government would mean for that. I think there'll also be another interesting question here, which is, I think there's a certain element of, there's a tiny bit of schadenfreude in Whitehall at the moment, because there is a sense that they got lots of lectures from the Irish government about how the DUP's role at Westminster was incompatible with the idea of the British and Irish government kind of soaring above the Northern Ireland peace process to look down. And if Sinn Féin end up in either propping up the government in Dublin and confidence and supply, or as Dennis was saying, holding a kind of rotating share in the premiership, I think there's some eyebrows will shoot up, given all the objections from the Irish government to the idea of the DUP having a role at Westminster in propping up the government. I think there is a interesting future question here again, which is, what effect does this have on how Brexit is proceeding in Northern Ireland? Because one of the striking things since the Assembly has got up and running in Northern Ireland is how the normal Irish parties have, despite their obvious differences on Brexit, they've started to advance common positions about things. And I wonder whether this election could disrupt that process. Because obviously, you know, one of Sinn Féin's long aims has been to find a way to be in government, you know, in both parts of the island of Ireland, as that as a kind of symbolic moment pre any kind of border poll.
And finally, Dennis, looking at the results, does this mean Leo Varadkar is history?
I think it probably does. I noticed that Simon Coveney, who's the foreign minister and his big rival for the leadership last time, he was saying this morning that he thought that Leo Varadkar should, you know, that there's no reason why Leo Varadkar should leave, that, you know, that he had really been a very good Taoiseach and had governed very well, although the people had also given their verdict and we had to listen to that as well. So I think that, you know, probably quite politely, the knives are being sharpened in Fine Gael for Leo Varadkar's back, and so I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple of months' time Leo Varadkar is no longer leader of his party, and I think he almost certainly will no longer be Taoiseach.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, James, and thank you for listening.